the other week I was at the football, and just a couple of rows in front of me, and to my left, there was sitting this lady, and she was a lady. Looked very gentle, you know, extremely sophisticated. She was old enough, I guess, to collect a pension. But she was there, she was dressed to kill. Hair was beautifully done, makeup was lovely. She had these big earrings hanging off her ears. She looked as though she could just about go and have tea with the Queen and get away with it. A bit like Pat Noel, really. Around her neck, she had an Adelaide football scarf. When the game started, there was no doubt who this lady supported. Jumped up and down, shouted with the best of them. I guess there could have been some who would have looked at her, and she did look a little out of place, I must admit, and thought, how foolish for this lady to be in that place acting as she was. But of course she was there because she had a passion. She had a passion for footy, passion for her football team. And she wanted to make sure that everybody knew where she stood and who she supported. And her behaviour was aimed at doing that. Today, Pat Noel will do a lot more than just put a footy scarf around her neck. She will, in front of us all, allow herself to be dipped beneath this water. But she would do it because she too has a passion. But her passion is for Almighty God. And her belief is that because she has responded to him, he is calling her now to, in front of us all, show us who she supports. Show us who she belongs to. And show us that the Lord has touched her heart with his love, has freed her from her sin, and that she has put her life into his house, into his hands, her life now, and also her life after death. And in particular, by this act, she wants you to know that the God who loves her loves you too. And that even as she's responded to that love, so you also can respond to his love upon your life and live in a way that pleases him. Well, this message, of course, is the very same message that Jesus proclaimed. He said at one point, in that very famous verse, John 3:16, "For God, my Father, so loved the world, everyone in it, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." When he said that, there were many who felt that that claim was just a little bit too inclusive. To say that God loved everybody was for them just a little bit too much. Surely, they said, God only loves the good people, the religious people, Jews like us, actually, who work really hard at being good. It wouldn't be fair if God included, if God included everybody else in his love, especially the ones who really are not very nice at all and who sin in such a blatant fashion. But Jesus strongly disagreed with them. And on this particular occasion, when all these holier-than-thou people were having a real go at him because he was eating and talking and sharing with what they called the riffraff, Jesus turned to them and he told them the three stories we've just heard. Three stories contained in one chapter of Scripture, Luke 15. Three stories which are actually quite well known. I think all of us would know at least two of those stories. The lost sheep and the lost son. And in the middle we have the story of the lost coin. These three stories actually show us in a wonderful way that God the Father reaches out to touch the lives of everyone. Let's think about that first story. The story about the lost sheep. The interesting thing is, back in the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet had written in Isaiah 46, "We all are all like sheep." Remember that verse? "We have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way." The people who were listening to Jesus, they knew their Old Testament. They would have known the reference. What Jesus was actually saying in this story, when he's talking about the lost sheep, he's saying this is a story about everyone. Every human being has either been like a lost sheep at one stage in their life, or they remain like a lost sheep for the whole of their life, or is now like a lost sheep, simply because they are separated from God, the Father. They've wandered from him because of the wrong things they have done in their lives. They are separated. I could imagine any shepherd who was there would be saying, "That's right, I know all about lost sheep." And he would have told you, if you'd asked him, you know, there are some sheep, really, that are only just lost. You know, they're the ones that have just wandered into the next paddock, or the ones that got left in the shed when you moved the whole of the mob out. He said, they're the ones that give you a bit of a worry straight away when you count they're not there, but they're actually quickly found. They don't take much looking for. And I guess some people are like that, aren't they? They've been brought up all their lives believing that there is a God. They're never really that far from God. But they're still separated. Still separated because they haven't actually entered into a personal relationship with him through Jesus. Then the day comes when they recognise that God is there for them personally, that he knows their name, as David reminded us in his prayer. And so there is a connection as they reach out to God and ask him to allow them to become part of his family through Jesus. And they are found. And I think that's probably a little bit like the story of Pat this morning. But then, of course, there are some sheep who really get lost. You show them a hole in the fence and they throw it in a flash. And once they throw it, they don't stop until they're miles away. They're the ones who fall down ditches and fall over cliffs, get themselves in a real mess. Shepherd's got to work very, very hard, doesn't he, to go and find those ones when he goes looking. And there are many people like that in our world. They stray so far from God sometimes, they don't even realise that God loves them. And often their lives become a real mess before they hear the voice of the shepherd looking for them. And then he told another story. And that story was very different. It was a story about the lost coin. A woman had 10 silver coins, Jesus said. And she loses one. And the point that Jesus makes in this story is that she puts a lot of effort into carefully looking for that coin. She lights a lamp. A little bit different than just turning a switch in those days. She sweeps the floor and she searches carefully. And she doesn't give up till she finds it. Why, it's one of the set. She doesn't want her set to be broken. And when she finds the last one, she is full of joy because her set is complete again. And you know, in the same way, God the Creator looks upon the human race as a set. He really doesn't want to lose any of us. Not one person. He wants everyone to be part of his family. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his." Reading 2 Peter 3 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He wants his whole set to be complete again. However, unfortunately, Jesus tells us, this will not happen because of the stubbornness which is in mankind. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. For small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Which is a real shame, isn't it? But that doesn't stop God continuously seeking to touch people's lives. I think in this little parable we have the story of the way God does that. He looks with effort. He looks carefully. He searches. He reaches out to people, seeking people who will respond to his love. Just a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago now, we had a young man who came into our church here and came to know the Lord in a service. That young man had been brought up in a Christian family, but when he just entered into his teens, his parents had divorced, and that was it. He then wasn't part of a church anymore. Stopped going to church completely. As he got into his 20s, so something began to compel him to think again about that. He then entered into a friendship with a particular girl who took him to a church. He enjoyed that for a couple of weeks. Then they broke up. But he still felt that he needed to do something about this church thing. He rang her, she gave him the name of the church to go to. He went to that church. Unfortunately, she hadn't told him the time. He got there when the service was halfway over. So he decided he wouldn't go in. He then just opened the map book to see what was around. Found there was a church in Craigie. He came here. Got here just before the service. He came, enjoyed the service, came back. A couple of weeks later, he came to know the Lord. And I feel that's a wonderful example of the way the Lord uses circumstances. And I believe when the Lord is seeking for someone, he uses circumstances so they are challenged to consider his love for them. And perhaps that's your story today. Perhaps over the last few weeks, the Lord has been using circumstances to challenge you, that you kept coming across the gospel message wherever you are. Or it just seems to come up. And so the Lord is saying, hey, this is your chance. I'm looking for you. How will you respond to that? And then there's a third story. The third story is about the rebellious son. I guess it's the most well-known story, isn't it, of the three? And you know, it's the longest. And when you look at it, it's the worst case of them all. For here is one who deliberately separates himself from the Father. He not only rebels against the Father, but he acts in a way when he gets into the other country which is so contrary to the way that he's been brought up to act. He goes against all the values and all the morals that his parents had instilled in him. Yet it's in this beautiful story we call the story of the prodigal son that Jesus gives us the most beautiful picture of God that you could imagine. We see God as the Father. And he is the wronged father. Got every reason to be very cross with his son. But he loves him. And so we see the father loving the son so much that he waits on the edge of his property day after day looking for his son to come home. And when that day comes, when the weary, the dirty, the repentant son appears on the horizon, it's the father, not the son, notice, it's the father who runs to hug the son. He doesn't see the wrongdoing, the sin anymore. He doesn't see the dirt, he doesn't see the grime. He sees his son. What a beautiful picture. He sees his son. Could God's love for us, whether we are like a sheep that has strayed or like a coin that has been misplaced or like a son that has deliberately rebelled, ever be better described than here in these three stories, described for us by Jesus himself? Today, Pat is going to show you that she's responded to that love. When she goes beneath the water, it's a sign to you that she is not trusting in anything good about herself anymore. That's gone. She's trusting in Jesus Christ for her life. When she comes above the water, she's resurrected with Christ, knowing that there is for her the sure and certain hope of the resurrection, but also the power of the Spirit to enable her each day to live a life that is close to God, that has his strength and power. And she walks through from here to live each day by the Spirit of God. Not perfectly. By no means. None of us will be. But knowing that one is there to pick her up, to strengthen her, to lead her. That's what she will be sharing with you this morning.